The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
Now, Cypress Avenue on this Friday night, Friday the 13th, when Ty Kiki was on board the Smooth Flotilla on his way to Palestine, or trying to get to Palestine earlier this year. We were chatting to him, and he went through some fairly hairy moments. And knowing Tig as we do, he's put a show together out of it. Wouldn't you know it? It's a panel discussion. There's comedy, there's music, there's a story of what it was like. And it's at the Cypress Avenue on tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Tig, morning to you.
Hi, PJ. How are you, buddy? What's happening?
I'm not too bad now, sir. Remind people again what the flotilla was. You were trying to get aid into Palestine.
Yeah, so as briefly as I can, it's a thing that's been going on for many years. We were just the latest iteration of it. And it was the first time there was so many boats, but the whole point of it, I suppose, is to break the siege and to allow aid, like mostly humanitarian aid, like things like baby formula and, you know, other things that people need that they can't get access to in Gaza. And so we were, I think there was, in the end, there was about 35 or 40 boats trying to get this aid in. We were stopped, in my case, I think we were about 30 or 40 nautical miles outside Gaza. And then we were incarcerated, which is illegal. Like, we were kidnapped in international waters and brought to a prison in the desert for 3 or 4 days, no contact with the outside world. And then the Greeks chartered a flight and they sent us home. And we're still waiting for the Irish government to kind of make any kind of statement on it, or to say that, you know, that's not a good idea, you're not allowed.
Would you go back?
People. Well, I'm not going to go back in the next... There's one coming. So there's one coming at the end of March. I'm not going to go on that because I told my partner and my kids that I'm just going to be a dad for a while, and I don't want to put them through the trauma of it.
Because it got a bit hairy out there, didn't it?
Of course, yeah. But I mean, like, what? I suppose... Yeah, I don't want to be too negative in the tone now, because the evening that we're putting on is not all negative.
No, but it did get a bit heavy out there.
Yes, yes. I suppose, like, I always say this to you, like, what does the average Irish person think about Irish people just wanting to bring humanitarian aid? They go on a boat and none of us have any criminal records. Some of the Irish people with me were in their 70s. They're people who've done humanitarian work their whole life. They're kidnapped. They're brought to a desert. They're not allowed their medication. They have no contact with the outside world. There's no access to lawyers. You don't know what time it is. And it starts playing in your head. You're kind of thinking, are we going to get out of here? Because you just don't know. Is anybody advocating for you on the outside? You don't know. Is anybody kicking up a fuss? So it is pretty hairy, to be honest with you. And I just can't kind of quite believe. We spoke to Amnesty International when we came home about it, and they said they were going to try and put pressure on the government to make some kind of statement, because... Otherwise, people are just going to have the carte blanche to kidnap Irish citizens in international waters, and they know the Irish government will say or do nothing about it. So, again, look, it's the same old story of Israel enjoying a level of impunity that I just don't think other countries get away with.
Now, here's the thing.
Any other country could do it to us.
The show in Cypress Avenue on Friday night, like you said, it's there's music and there's laughter. How do you get a laugh out of something like that?
Well, how do Irish people get a laugh out of everything that we laugh about? Like, you know, black comedy is that's the thing that combines people who've been through colonization and oppression and all these things. And I think the Irish know that better than anybody. So there's a few of the participants are coming over. It started off that we were just trying to get a reunion going, and then we decided on doing it in Cork. And we said, look, we might as well put on an event and talk about our experiences, especially women, because there's four fantastic women on the panel. One is part of the land team in Ireland, Claire O'Connor, and then there's three participants on the boat, and they're just talking about what it's like, I think, almost specifically from a women's point of view, because sometimes we do these events and it can seem so scary, and especially when you get incarcerated and you come face to face with the Israelis, we just wanted to kind of give a sense of the camaraderie, why people do these things, encourage other people to do them, and it's not all doom and gloom, because, I mean, those few weeks, as hairy as they were some of the best experiences of my life.
Did you have on the times when it was quiet, and I'm assuming it was quiet at times, did you have a bit of fun as well?
Absolutely. And that's the whole point. I mean, like, there's two of the songs that we're going to be doing on the night are songs that myself and Leila Hegazi and one or two others, we kind of came together and wrote, covers of songs, like, about the situation that we were in. So there's absolute camaraderie. But, I mean, that's life, I think, at its best, in a way that in those moments where things are hairy and challenging, the kind of human spirit kicks in and the camaraderie kind of kicks in and stuff, you know. So I'd encourage people to come in because I think it will be lighter than the usual types of discussions of these things. And also, more importantly, I think it might just encourage more people. There's applications open at the moment for Irish people to join the next mission or just get involved in the movement in some way, because you don't have to get on a boat to be very useful to the cause, as you know, you know. So it's
I think the big thing that it certainly at the time ye were out there,
yeah,
people were I spoke to one man, was it Paddy, and he said, right. I said, why did you go? He said, I could not watch the news night after night and see this going on and not roll up my sleeves and try to do something.
That's exactly
was
it.
Was that you too, Tyke?
100%, 100%. I felt exasperated by kind of maybe going to marches and sharing stuff on social media and doing videos and stuff and seeing no real difference on the ground. And as you say, it felt like for a small little period, we did make a little bit of a difference. There was a lot of kind of noise around the issue for a while in these countries here in the West, and then it went away again with this kind of fake ceasefire narrative. But we just have to remind people that since the so-called ceasefire started, over 500 Palestinians have been killed.
Yeah.
So there is no ceasefire. I mean, imagine if there was a ceasefire, if something in Ireland happened and we called it a ceasefire, yet mm-hmm. another 500 Irish people were killed.
Yeah. We're not hearing... every morning on the news, whatever channel we turn on first for our news bulletins, we're not hearing. Do you think that it's things like, and look, it's a big story in itself, a huge story in itself, Epstein and other such things. Do you think that they are pushing Palestine out of our minds?
Yeah, and I mean, like, at the risk of sounding like a tinfoil hat man, like, that's a very deliberate decision, you know what
I
mean?
Do you think so?
Of course, because, you know, you have a Zionist buy of CBS in the States, you have a Zionist acquisition of TikTok, so a lot of the media and the social media networks.
Yeah, now I think also, besides that, Zionist or no Zionist, without a Zionist in the room, Tig, you know, the Epstein story is just meat and drink. Every day there's a new story. It's interesting.
Well, PJ, the Epstein files have got massive evidence connecting Israeli intelligence to the man himself. And so when you turn on the news, you'll hear, rightly so, you'll hear all about the Epstein-like connections to obviously horrific child trafficking and the sexual crimes, and rightly so. But in our Western media, we don't hear at all about the connection to Israeli intelligence. What we will hear, though, is suspicions that he was connected to Russia. So I would just encourage people to do their own independent reading and looking into those things, because not all the time we're not told what exactly is going on, you know what I mean?
It has been reported, actually, Fergal is drawing to my attention here, there was a report in the Daily Mail about exactly what you just said.
The connections to Israel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that to me would be the main story, but there's a very scant evidence to connect him to Russia, which is kind of something that a lot of the right-wing press is kind of pushing, you know?
These are stories that have already deprinced a prince, like, and I could unseat many more people before the year is over. But you still reckon that you think the Epstein story is being used to take Palestine out of our heads?
I suppose it should be a story that should bring Palestine front and centre, again, because Israel's kind of clumsy thumbprints are all over the Epstein files. But instead of hearing that aspect of it, we're rightly so hearing about the crimes. And I think there's a salacious covering of the story as well. There's not enough emphasis on the victims, I would say, even if you park
you could probably spend the morning talking about that, but you're not wrong there. There's this huge focus on the big people it's affecting, the big names it's affecting, the deprincing of a prince and all those things. Maybe not enough focus on the victims. Thank you. The show at Cypress Avenue tomorrow night is called Shanties and Shenanigans. €20 on the door, with all of the proceeds going to Palestine relief. Thanks, Ty. Good luck with it.
Cork's 96 FM.